The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
It is a distinct privilege and honor for me personally to welcome to the program Dr. Wayne Grudem. Most of you are familiar with him. He is professor of theology and biblical studies at Phoenix Seminary. He's published 22 books at least. His book on systematic theology is considered by many to be the absolute classic on the topic for several generations. He has a brand new book out, Christian Ethics. Welcome to the program, Dr. Wayne Grudem.
Thank you, Bob. Good to be with you.
Well, it is good to be with you as well. When I interview authors, often my first question is this, and particularly with someone who has written a book like yours, what is the genesis? What caused you to sit down and spend the countless hours to put together a 1,246-page book, and that's without the index, by the way, on ethics? What was the genesis of this?
Well, Bob, I've been increasingly aware that Christians want to follow the Bible, but they are facing a culture that is hostile to biblical values in sexuality, in truth and falsehood, in protection of human life, in protection of human authority, protection of property, many areas of life that are ethical, moral questions, that have ethical and moral questions that the Bible really has answers to, but people, a lot of Christians are confused by the culture and they're not sure what to think. And in addition to that, I hear that some people are saying, well, why doesn't my pastor ever teach on these things? And I think this is a resource for adult Christian readers, but also for pastors who want a guidebook to what the Bible teaches on the main moral issues that confront us today.
Well, there's certainly a need for it. The only book that's even similar that I have seen in the last 20, 30, 40 years is Kingdom Ethics by Stassen and Gushy. Your book, I think, is even more in-depth, more comprehensive. So there's certainly a need on the topic. Now, you base, and I must say, whenever I interview an author, I try my best to read their book. I have to confess, I just got it a few days ago, and I have not read all of the book. But I have read large portions of it.
Oh, good.
And will continue reading it. I've discovered that you have based the book on 7 tenets of the Ten Commandments, and you deal with 42 specific topics. My question on that, many people today believe that the Ten Commandments are irrelevant for today, whether it's that's Old Testament, we live in New Testament, or a dozen other reasons. Why are the Ten Commandments the foundation for your book?
Well, they're the structural or organizational principle. And Bob, when I looked at the teaching of the New Testament, which applies most directly to us today, I found that it's quite clear that the covenant that God gave to his people under the leadership of Moses, what we call the Mosaic covenant, that has been terminated because Jesus instituted a new covenant with the Last Supper. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Mm-hmm. And so we're not directly under the Old Testament Mosaic laws anymore. But then you look at the New Testament authors, and what do? They quote 9 of the Ten Commandments and apply them to Christians. Mm-hmm. And I have a section where I list all the places in the New Testament where these Ten Commandments are applied as applicable to Christians. And it makes sense. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. I mean, I think most people would have an instinctive sense that, and that, I think that's a God-given conscience, that says, yes, these are important principles. And it's fairly common in the history of Christian teaching to use the Ten Commandments to structure a treatment of ethics under those major areas. I don't know if that's answering your question.
Yeah, it does. It does. I am seeing a continual attack just on the concept of truth. Mm. The liberal left, whether it's political or theological, would want us to believe that there is no such thing as truth. Everything is relative. There is no truth, and that's why the Ten Commandments are such an affront to the liberal left. How important is it that as Christians we lay down a foundation that there is truth, and not only is there truth, we can know it?
Yes, we can know it because God has spoken in the Bible, and once we come to understand that the Bible is God's words to us, then we realize that the Bible is different from every other book ever written in all of history, because it's the only book that is not only the words of human beings who were the human authors, but it's also the words of God, and we need to pay attention to the words of our Creator. I also think of the Apostle Paul when he was in a totally secular, totally pagan situation in Acts 17 in the city of Athens in Greece. And he spoke to these pagan Greek philosophers, and he called them to account for disobeying God's moral standards in a way, because he said, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, to repent. That means turn from their sins. And then he said the reason is because God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given testimony by raising him from the dead. In other words, Jesus Christ is going to be the judge. He's going to hold all people for all cultures, all societies, and all history accountable to God's moral standards. So this book on Christian ethics is important not only for Christians, but it's important for Christians to understand what God's moral standards are so they can graciously and kindly but clearly state those to unbelievers. We're not going to have revival in this country unless people repent of their sins, and they're not going to repent of their sins unless they know what sin is.
You make that point so very clear in your book. Again, we're talking about a brand new book from my guest, Dr. Wayne Grudem, and it's entitled Christian Ethics. To illustrate what you were just talking about, Dr. Grudem, you deal extensively with marriage, and you say this. I was very impressed with this. You say, God's definition of marriage was not just for the Jewish people only, but was intended to apply to all people in all societies for all time.
Yeah.
Can you expand on that and how we must be proclaiming this? Because we're hearing over and over again, well, that's what you believe.
Right.
You know, but you're trying to push your belief on us. But something as foundational as the family and marriage, your contention is, this is applicable to all people of all time.
Yes, I think for listeners, Bob, on your show, if they would just bear with me for a minute, I want to say that the first thing to understand is that the overall structure of the Bible is history. Mm-hmm. That is, it starts in the beginning with creation and ends in the book of Revelation with final judgment and the eternal state of heaven and new heaven and new earth. So it progresses forward. And the Jewish people don't come into existence until, well, beginning with Abraham in Genesis 12, but then not ultimately until Exodus 20, the second book of the Old Testament, when God makes a covenant with the people of Israel at Mount Sinai. So the stuff in the Bible that is in the early chapters of Genesis, that isn't particularly specified for the Jewish people themselves. It's material that applies to all mankind, all humanity. And there we read that God created Adam and created Eve from a rib taken from Adam's side. So the entire human race is descended from Adam and Eve. and God put them in the Garden of Eden, and the Bible there refers to them as a married couple, because it, at the end of Genesis 2, before there's sin in the world, there's this verse that says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Paul, the apostle, picks that up in the book of Ephesians in the New Testament and said, this is a great mystery, but I take it to refer to Christ and the church. The point of that is that at the beginning of creation, He created male and female as a married couple, and that establishes the pattern for what marriage should be for all time.
We are talking with Dr. Wayne Grudem. His book, Christian Ethics. I know that the title was very intentional, Dr. Grudem, because it's my understanding that one of the purposes of the books is not of your book is not to tell people what to think, but lay down biblical principles so people can actually reach their own conclusions concerning biblical ethics. Have I understood that correctly?
I hope that happens, Bob. At a number of places, I quote extensively from other Bible-believing evangelical Christians who disagree with me on one or another of these detailed ethical questions, and show why I don't hold to that viewpoint, but why others do. And so there's a balance of perspective by which people can find out the different viewpoints within evangelicalism on issues like is it ever right to tell a lie, or do we ever have to commit a lesser sin, or marriage and divorce and remarriage issues. There's stewardship of money issues. There are several issues where there are honest differences among evangelical Christians.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you, you have been teaching for over 40 years.
Yes.
And I guess we could say one of your specialties is the topic of ethics and morality. I would love to know from your perspective, how have students' perceptions of morality and ethics changed in the 40 years that you have been in the classroom? What changes have you observed in your students when it comes to how they perceive morality and ethics?
I think students today are more surprised to find that obedience matters in the Christian life and makes a big difference for our joy in relationship with Christ and also for our fruitfulness in work of the kingdom.
Elaborate on that. That's fascinating. Elaborate on that.
I think when I first started teaching, I went into the classroom and students assumed that it was important to seek to grow in holiness and to overcome sinful patterns of life. I think today in many parts of the evangelical world, there's been so much emphasis on grace and forgiveness, which are true things and they're taught in Scripture. But if that's all we hear, we don't have a clear understanding of the need that God wants us to live lives that honor Him, that glorify Him in our conduct. And I think when students begin to read this in the introductory material in the book, which has been in my lectures for years, it's a joy to them. It seems right in their hearts. They know that their Creator wants them to be conformed to His moral standards, and that the Holy Spirit gives us power to change and to become more Christ-like. And there is joy, and I list 17 specific blessings that come in connection with living in obedience to God's commands in Scripture. And students are happy about that. They I think, instinctively thought that in the back of their minds, but didn't know where to get an argument from Scripture itself for the importance of obedience and seeking to overcome sin in the life of a Christian.
I cannot tell you. I cannot tell you how refreshing that is for me to hear that.
You are
singing my
response I'm getting from students.
You're singing my song. That's a drum that I've been beating for years. Is that we, of course, we must teach grace and forgiveness, but we have gone to an extreme where we have forgotten that God is a holy God, and He desires holiness in us as well. Not legalism, but He desires holiness.
You know, Bob, when I first turned in the manuscript for the book, the title is always Christian Ethics, but the subtitle I proposed was Living a Life Pleasing to God.
Mm.
And then in talking with the publisher, we went to an introduction to biblical moral reasoning. But this is an important concept in the New Testament, that we can live in a way that is pleasing to God. Paul says in Colossians 1 that he's hoping, praying that the Christians in the church that he's writing to will live in a manner worthy of the Lord, mm-hmm. fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul even says to children, obey your parents, for this is pleasing to God. And there are many other verses that talk about living in a way that is that God is pleased with.
Well, that illustrates the desperate need for this book. And again, my guest is Dr. Wayne Grudem. The brand new book, Christian Ethics, An Introduction to Biblical Moral Reasoning. You can get it at your local bookstore. You can get it at WayneGrudem.com. Wayne Grudem, that's G-R-U-D-E-M, WayneGrudem.com. You can get it at Amazon. You can get it at any of those places. We have about 40 seconds left, Dr. Grudem. Can you just share quickly, very quickly, what are the most pressing ethical issues that we are facing today? And again, unfortunately, it's going to be very brief.
Well, the question of human sexuality. And,
yeah.
The fact that God has made male and female, made us different, and we should delight in and rejoice in and live according to God's standards for men and women and for marriage. And so...
And unfortunately, and that's one of the topics that the liberal church is telling us has become the least important.
Contrary to Scripture, though.
Yeah, absolutely contrary to Scripture. Well, it has been such an honor, Dr. Grudem, to have you on the program. I'd love to have you back again sometime soon.
Thanks, Bob, very much.
Dr. Wayne Grudem, the brand new book, Christian Ethics, An Introduction to Biblical Moral Reasoning. Get it. You need it.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. They are preparing grounded leaders who are impacting public policy and serving in the public square. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.